darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by the Corner Contingent. Right across from me, my man, 100 grand, who was just explaining to me that, you know, college football, yeah, blah, 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 yakety smackety. Let's get on the frozen pond and slap a few pucks. Let's talk about the Boston Bruins. No, Boston. I'm sorry, I didn't say it properly. The Boston, B-A-H-S-T. Boston, where they parked the car.
In Harvard Yard.
I know that's a terrible impression. Don't worry. I understand it. None other than my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa. He's the resident hockey fan, ladies and gentlemen. And in the screening room, producer extraordinaire, often imitated, never duplicated, who might today be found wearing certain red, well, blue and red colors regarding a certain university whose football coach decided to leave them to win the national championship. And the team he left is fighting is a one game away from a national championship. You tell me how you square that circle, my man. Anyway, but we're ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program. I have lots of very important issues to discuss. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to encourage you to do so with intentionality. Understanding the primacy that God places on family and allowing that to govern and guide your engagements. We will never outvote, outpolitic, out Supreme Court opinion, you know, out protest, out march deficiencies that abound in the home through the family. The family is the first human institution that God created before you get to the modern iterations of civil government. Before you get to any other institutions, the Lord starts with the family. He did that intentionally because the family is the primary vehicle through which, the primary institution through which he establishes his kingdom generationally. And I'm going to share from scripture, because one of the things that I was just, you know, in my time off praying about and meditating on and encouraging, especially the men I'm around, is walking upright before the Lord, and especially my more seasoned brothers chronologically, finishing well, you know, not toward in the latter part of your lives, falling off. And, you know, 2025 was riddled with scandal. Ministers, frankly, rebelling against the Lord, falling into sin. You know, and then here we're barely into 2026 and you have another, you know, pretty well-known minister. Some people know him, and I'm not trying to pounce on him personally. And, you know, I can't imagine the devastation, although he wrote a lot of things recently I disagreed with. But he's known in the Christian circles as a Christian author. And I'm talking about Philip Yancey, you know, and I'm not going to go into the details of the salacious components other than to say, it has just been exposed publicly that he was involved in an 8-year-long adulterous affair. An 8-year-long adulterous affair. And it's just, it's heartbreaking. And involved in this affair with another woman who was also married. So both of them were married to other people. And one of the scriptures that I've been discussing is in Proverbs chapter 23. So I'm going to share that with the audience here, man. And it's one thing to have the Word of God, to have access to the Word of God and have the Word of God. It's another thing to take heed, heed. We must take heed to the scriptures, man. We must take heed to God's instruction. Yes, we're going to talk about the shooting in Minnesota. I didn't want to talk about it yesterday because I wanted to gather as much information as I can before I came to air with any commentary on that. Now I have enough information, I believe, to discuss the issue intelligently based on the information that's available currently. But we'll get to that next segment, Lord willing. But Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 is where we're going to go. Verses 26 through 29. And this is what God's word says. My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. For a prostitute or a harlot is a deep pit. And an adulteress or the adulterous woman is a narrow well. She lies in wait like a robber and increases the faithless among mankind, or increases the traitors among mankind. Man, it's so true. So here, once again, God is personified as wisdom and makes a plea as a father pleading to a son and saying, my son, give me your heart. The immediate implication here is that it is not an automatic phenomenon. The son could have access to the father, access to the wisdom that the father has provided. Yet the son has the capacity to reject that wisdom, but the appeal is made so that that does not occur. My son, give me your heart. Give me your heart. Let or allow your eyes to observe my ways. My ways. This is once again affirming the reality. And I've talked about this in the Apostle Paul's relationship with Timothy when he explains that Timothy was familiar with his teaching, but he was also familiar with his lifestyle. One of those most potent components of being effective in making disciples is living before people. And living the truth before people and teaching the truth. And that the instruction and the example are parallel. They work together. They don't work against each other. I hear what you're saying, but I see how you're living. Your sayings and livings are contradictory. No, that our sayings are consistent with our living. That is the call. That is the mandate. That is the obligation. The text goes on to say, for a prostitute, or some translations there say a harlot, is a deep pit. An adulteress is a narrow well. I want you to see in this verse, harlotry and adultery are made parallel to one another. I want you to notice that. And what the proverb writer is articulating is that the prostitute, that is the deep pit, and the adulteress is a narrow well. The communication is both of them set up traps. In the Old Testament time period, if one fell into a well, one fell into a pit, you would be in the pit and unable to get yourself out. This is the warning that's being provided. The harlot, the prostitute, is a deep pit, a deep pit. The adulteress is a narrow well. You fall into it, you won't be able to get yourselves out of it. You won't be able to get yourselves out of it. And man, I'm telling you, I thank God for the seasoned saints that I had in my life who would offer sayings like this. Listen, sin to take you further than you ever intended to go, keep you longer than you ever intended to stay. How many times has a person succumbed to the lure, never intending to be, oh, that'll never be me. But sin grows as a man travels one step at a time. And here's the reality, guys, the flesh is never satisfied. The reason why God calls us to crucify the flesh is because the flesh is never satisfied. The flesh will make an introductory offering all the while. The intention, the demonic intention, is to have you all the way down. How many people, oh man, I'll just take a little hit and end up addicted. How many people, just a little peek and end up in adulterous relationships? An 8-year-long adulterous relationship, while purporting publicly to be a Christian author and writer and speaker and all of these things. Guys, the word of God is true. The word of God is true. And then the text adds this additional warning. She, and I want you guys to see this. Verse 27 refers to the prostitute and the adulteress. Clearly two different contexts, right? But refers to them in a parallel fashion, almost analogously. Then you get to verse 28 and the apparent two different categories, if you will, is referred to in the singular. She lies in wait. Do you see that? The prostitute is a deep pit. An adulteress is a narrow well. Verse 28, she lies in wait like a robber and increases traitors among mankind. Or some translations there say the faithless, which communicated there, increases the quantity of people who cannot be trusted. That's why here in the ESV it says traitors. Other translations, faithless. Those who cannot be trusted. Because the demonic objective all along is not merely about the individual circumstances. Satan doesn't care whether or not you are, you know, abundantly provided for materially or if you're struggling materially. What he wants to destroy is the witness of Christ and the eternal souls of mankind. And so if he could use the man in this instance who succumbs to the adulteress, who succumbs to the prostitute as an occasion for the unbeliever to blaspheme, as an effort to nullify the public witness of the Christ follower to say, yeah, see, there you go. How are you going to believe in this Christ? And look at all of these ministers that keep falling. And that's what you're telling me you believe in? Now, we know the reality is, no matter how many false representatives of Christ deny him or fail him, that has no bearing on Christ. That is the truth. But it doesn't change the fact that God has ordained for the life quality of the believer to be a means by which the gospel appeal is made. Jesus said, by the love that the believer shows one to another, will all men know you're my disciples. How much more should a Christian husband be faithful and committed and love his wife? That's included in the understanding of by the love you all show for one another, will all men know you're my disciples. Brothers and sisters, I urge you with every ounce of fervor in my being to heed the counsel and warnings of Scripture. My brother, especially my brothers who are listening to me and you are in ministry, do not make any room for the devil. Don't play with it. Shun the very appearance of evil. Never get to the place where you feel like, well, I've been at this long enough now. I can relax a little bit. People mock the Billy Graham rule. Oh, why is it men can't control themselves? Y'all know that is not the issue in the least bit. It is adherence to the biblical admonition to shun the very appearance of evil. My heart breaks for the carnage that has been created by the sin in this circumstance. And by God's grace, man, let it not be repetitive in your life and my life. Let us walk uprightly before the King of Glory. When we exalt the Lord personally, regardless of who else is around, let that be the enduring characteristic of our personalities and our character. And so that it continues over in our relationships with people. Because frankly, guys, eternity hangs in the balance for the unbeliever. And because we love Christ, we must love his bride. And because we love Christ, we must love the witness for Christ. Shun the very appearance of evil, man. Don't play with it. Don't play with sin.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Psalm 112, beginning at verse 1. Praise the Lord! How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying His commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will last forever. Light shines in the darkness for the godly. They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care, and here's why. This time of year is decision time for a lot of people, but it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, joining MediShare means saving about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. More than a million people are now part of healthcare sharing because it just makes so much sense, especially right now. And MediShare is the gold standard. Members like it a lot. We know this from member surveys. MediShare has been around for over 30 years. It is a proven thing. And if you join before January 15th and you mention the promo code SHARE, they'll waive your application fee. So you save $100 right off the bat. I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. And again, the deadline is January 15th. So call now. You'll save even more. Here's the number. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE. Bible.
Biblical marriage in America was once considered sacred, even according to the law.
Marriage itself, one man and one woman, with legal enforceable duties towards their children, had a structure that reflected a Judeo-Christian tradition, and that was enforced in law.
Laws used to be based on religion and morality, but what about today?
Religion and morality have almost become this like toxic word that you can't talk about in government, right? Anything religious and moral, that's just going to have to be the church's.
In the next AFA at Home, Walker Wildman and his guests take an in-depth look at strategies that will help restore state authority over marriage and morality.
That was the standard.
That was the norm.
That was the norm for most of the history of our country, and the court's given us an opportunity to return to that.
Catch episode 8 of AFA at Home when it hits AFA Stream on January 8th. You can watch it free for 1 week. After that, it'll be available exclusively at the Great Commission Partner level. Set up your free account today at stream.afa.net.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. Well, we are underway in the year of our Lord 2026. Next week, January 15th through the 17th, I will be joining the Tabernacle Church South Haven family, where Bishop Vincent Matthews is the pastor. A visionary, godly man shepherding the Lord's flock there. What the Lord is doing through their local assembly is just phenomenal. And I'm just greatly honored to be a part of the leadership summit that will take place there next week. It will be in South Haven, Mississippi. You are welcome to come to the summit. You simply have to go to tabsouthhaven.org to register for the summit. It will be, as I mentioned, January 15th through the 17th next week. We will be there by God's grace. And I've been mentioning this subsequent to the leadership summit in South Haven. I'll be joining the Simsboro Baptist Church family, First Baptist Simsboro in Simsboro, Louisiana. That's North Louisiana, February 20th through the 22nd for their Family Focus Weekend. Both my wife and I will be ministering during this Family Focus Weekend. The event is free of charge in Simsboro, no charge whatsoever, but you are asked, if you are coming to the event, to register by going to fbcsimsboro.org. That is fbcsimsboro.org. You'll have to click on the events tab, which is on the right side of the screen, and you'll see the Family Focus Weekend. That is where you'll need to register so that the church can be prepared because they will provide food for attendees during the Family Focus weekend. So that will be February 20th through the 22nd. We have the links for all of these in the show notes. You can go there to get all of the information that you need, but we would love to see you there. One of my favorite things to do is to meet people, hug necks, and to see tangible evidence of the people that enjoy the programming here and get a down payment on what we're going to enjoy in eternity. Because if you are a member of the family of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you and I are family. You know, the terms brother and sister wasn't meant to be a church platitude. It was meant to be an expression that communicates an eternal reality. So having a down payment on what we get to enjoy for eternity is something that I personally take great joy in very, very much. So we'd love to see you at either one, if not both, of those events. All right. To the foolishness du jour. You know, you read Proverbs 6, man. The Lord talks about the things that the Lord hates. And one of the things that are mentioned that I don't think is given enough attention is that the Lord hates those who sow discord among the brethren. Discord among the brethren. And when you have tragic events like that have just occurred, like the one that just occurred in Minnesota, it's sad to me how predictable it is that you pretty much know people's opinions based upon their political leanings. You know, I'd like to be charitable and say worldview, but sometimes people haven't even considered a thorough, comprehensive worldview. They just start with a kind of a "we hate Donald Trump" kind of disposition, and then everything flows from there. And it's just sad. So the fundamental reality is that the events that just transpired in Minneapolis could have very easily been avoided. So some may forget, but I'm going to remind you that what was happening in Minneapolis was not anything happening secretly. You know, it's amazing to me how people like Tim Walton and others say, "Oh, you people that have masks on and covers." Like, y'all act like you don't know there have been efforts to dox law enforcement agents to try to terrorize them for them doing the jobs that they've signed up to do and that, frankly, that our nation requires. We need folks to do these jobs. But I digress. So let me get into it. So you may recall, first, the federal government unearthed massive fraud in the immigration sector. Do you guys remember this? Shortly before the end of the year 2025, the Twin Cities area, Minneapolis and St. Paul, it came to the void. Yeah, yes, you know, well, some people did some things. Omar, who the evidence shows she married her brother just to get to the country. Yeah. Anyway, and so the federal government has been conducting massive investigations first there, which has led to criminal prosecutions. As a result of the investigation and the evidence of fraudulent immigration status, the Department of Homeland Security has now entered, and it's an operation called Operation Metro Surge that began in December. This is not anything that has been secret, because we've come to find out that under the auspices of Tim Walz and Jacob Frey, the mayor of Minneapolis, who gave his acceptance speech, a part of it in Somali, isn't that interesting? In America, isn't that interesting? That there, in addition to immigration fraud, there have been massive welfare fraud, financial fraud, to where American taxpayer money has been fraudulently acquired, significant portions of which are being shipped to Somalia, and foreign Islamic terrorist group Al-Shabaab is being funded in part by American taxpayer dollars. And we have no problem with this. Along the lines of the massive fraud, you had Nick Shirley, who just showed that, you know, I'll never forget this, the Child Learing Center. We have these child care centers that so happen to be run by Somalian immigrants that Turns out it wasn't having much children or care going on other than getting the monies. Surely that's not the only place in the country that these things are happening. But just because it's not the only place doesn't mean we should turn a blind eye to it. So anyway, that all being said, that ICE had an increased presence in the area pursuant to these various investigations for the express purposes of finding, detaining, and deporting illegal aliens in the area. All right? So it's not new. It's not anything new. According to the information that we have available, and we don't have lots of evidence now about the conversation between the two, but I'm going to share what we do have. I'm going to play the video shortly, but I'm going to describe it. You had ICE agents who were on a particular street in the Minneapolis area. This woman, and I want to be clear about this, Renee Nicole Good. I have a hard time, man. When the senseless loss of life, my immediate thought is, what about this woman's soul? What about this woman's soul? She's being described as, you know, a mother of three. There's some information that indicates that she was in, I'll just say it this way, a rebellious relationship, a sexually rebellious relationship, and that she explicitly came to Minneapolis for the express purpose of protesting ICE's activities in Minnesota. Now, this is America. We have freedom for now to act according to what we will. You know, you want to protest, okay. But I would have hoped that, you know, the children would have been a higher priority. I know some people say, well, hey, what if she feels like she's doing this to protect her children? All right. But to be plain and clear, were her children under any threat from ICE? All right. I mean, come on. Come on, man. But it's one of those things, man, just like we've been talking about. You know, it seems like younger men are turning towards and seeking for enduring objective truth. Not unanimously, of course. There are exceptions to all of this. But generally speaking, the men are trending in that direction. Conservative, yes, in terms of political terms, but beyond conservative, returning to church attendance, generally speaking. But you see somewhat a fervor amongst regressive women, zealous. And in many instances, they project the kind of maternal inclinations that God has given to them. They project it onto these regressive causes. You know, remember the candidate that by God's grace we were spared from in the Nashville area. I don't want children. I want power. Remember her in the Nashville area. You know, nurturing things like climate zealotry and you know, yes, we want to protect immigrants and all of these things. And it's like, well, why don't you direct that towards your own children? That being said, what you're going to see in the video, it's clear in the video that the ICE vehicle appears to be a Nissan Tundra, a Nissan vehicle, a truck. Their lights, it's not a Nissan. I'm not talking about the vehicle being driven by Renee Nicole Macklin Good. I'm talking about the vehicle driven by the ICE officers, is the truck. And you see another vehicle, a Honda Pilot, almost perpendicular to the Nissan truck, clearly positioned to block the travel of the Nissan truck. In the video, you'll see that there are ICE agents communicating verbally to the driver of the Honda Pilot. One of the ICE agents approaches the door, the driver's side door of the Honda Pilot. I don't know for a fact, but I would imagine based on the physical gestures in the video that he's saying to her, get out of the vehicle. He then approaches her door and attempts to, and this is not the ICE officer who discharged his firearm, okay? So I just want to explain that. Attempts to open the door. Instead of the driver of the Honda Pilot that once again was pulled nearly perpendicular to the ICE truck, the truck driven by the ICE agents, clearly put to position to physically impede the travel of the ICE agent, It seems that there is a refusal to obey lawful commands, which in and of itself is a crime, by the way, guys. I don't think people understand that. That is a separate and individual crime. Following the continued offering of lawful commands, instead of heeding the lawful commands, you will see the Honda Pilot vehicle begin to drive forward. And in the video, you'll see another ICE agent that is standing near the hood area of this Honda Pilot on the driver's side. And that officer, that agent, you'll see, attempts to physically, basically dodge the Honda Pilot. It's in that short blink of an eye that his firearm is discharged, apparently one shot fired, that ultimately proves to be fatal. Now, before I get into anything else, I want to show the video, all right? The video is not going to have any audio, so I apologize for the radio audience and the podcasters. But I'm going to try to basically describe what's happening as I just narrated before, to narrate the video as it's happening, because I want you to see what I've seen and what's publicly available so far. So to do so, would you please, Mr. Jeff, play clip three is the first one, right? Play clip number three. Clip three, go. And I'll start once the video comes up. I don't see it yet. Is it playing on your end?
Not playing on mine.
It's not playing on mine either. I don't see it yet. All right, here we go. All right, so you see two officers approaching the Honda Pilot. You see one reaching toward the door, and as the car surges forward, you see a puff of smoke. The officer who was closest to, would you run it back, please, Jeff? The officer who was closest to the hood of the vehicle is the one who is directly in the travel path of this Honda Pilot. Now, I want you to see it, and I know this is at regular speed. This is not slow motion, so I want to show it again. But I want you to see how quickly, in the blink of an eye, in an immediate moment, you see the entire incident unfold. So go ahead and play it again, Jeff. Please. When you're ready, whenever you're ready, go ahead. I should have slowed this down so everybody can see, because it's very quick, very brief. All right, I'm going to just let it play. Now, you don't see the ICE agent who discharged his firearm to the very end. But you can tell that based on the trajectory of the vehicle, if he doesn't respond, it's very possible, based on the video alone, that he would have been struck by the Honda Pilot. Now, I want to talk a few things about legalities, right? So I want you all to be aware of something. The way this will be examined from a law enforcement perspective, the evaluation will be assessed from what's called the totality of the circumstances perspective. The totality of the circumstances perspective. What is the entirety of the circumstance that is transpiring? It will also include what was said that can be heard. It appears that the Honda Pilot driver, Renee Good's window is down. So there is going to be some evidence that comes up that shows what statements are being made by the ICE agents and what statements are being made by the driver of the Honda Pilot. Did she exclaim in fear as she hit the gas pedal to surge forward in the Honda Pilot? That will be assessed. Or did she let off a couple expletives? You're not going to get me. What was said? That is going to play into this assessment. What was in the mindset of all of the ICE agents who were present? Most pertinently, Mr. Ross. His name is Jonathan Ross. There are going to be questions. And if there's evidence that shows, why was Nicole Macklin Good in Minnesota at this time? Did she come there explicitly to interrupt ICE proceedings, otherwise known as to interrupt a law enforcement process? All of these are questions that will be asked. More when we come back from the break.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
Women going through the ordeal of infertility or miscarriage experience pain and loneliness that are too much for words. The Hannah's Heart Conference, January 30th and 31st, 2026, at Hope Church in Tupelo, Mississippi, can help bring hope and encouragement with biblical teaching from Jane Johnson and worship led by Phil King. For more information or to register, visit afr.net/HHC2026. afr.net/HHC2026.
What if healthcare could be more than bills and bureaucracy? What if it could reflect faith, foster community, and offer spiritual support? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, the mission goes beyond medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and embracing healthcare that aligns with Christian values. Redeem members share medical expenses through monthly contributions, supporting one another in a Christ-centered community. It's not insurance, it's believers helping believers through financial support and prayer. And Redeem HealthShare provides freedom for members to select the doctors, hospitals, and treatments that are right for them. No networks, no restrictions, just faith-driven care. From everyday checkups to unexpected medical emergencies, Redeem offers flexible programs and encouragement rooted in Scripture. Because your healthcare should reflect your faith, not compromise it. More at RedeemHealthShare.org or call 1-844-REDEEM-0.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, and I hope you're looking forward to a wonderful 2026. Let me tell you about a couple of things you might be interested in that we're going to go on. Those are tours. We call them spiritual heritage tours. We're going this year in June and September to Washington, D.C. and George Washington's Mount Vernon. We're also going to Colonial Williamsburg and the historic Jamestown Settlement. Then we're going also to Boston, Massachusetts. So all those tours are coming up in 2026. The D.C. and Williamsburg trip are both in June and September. So pick the month you want to go. The Boston trip is in September. So for all the information, the itinerary, the cost, everything you need to know about these tours, if you want to join us on a vacation with a purpose, that's what we call it, go to wildmangroup.com. W-I-L-D-M-O-N group.com is the website. Find out all the information, and we'll see you on one of our 2026 tours.
AFA Stream is a resource for life-changing instruction and information, a source of wholesome entertainment and relaxation, plus access to some of your favorite AFA shows. You can watch a lot of content for free, or you can become a great commission partner. Then you'll not only open the door to everything AFA Stream has to offer, you'll get benefits like a subscription to The Stand and some really nice exclusives. Why not get started today? It's easy. Visit stream.afa.net.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at afr.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here, just discussing this terrible tragedy in Minnesota. But unsurprisingly, the lying media is not conversing about this in a manner that's meant to help us understand what's going on. Oh, no. It's a continual exercise in provoking the type of division that many of them traffic in, that it enables them to feel empowered and to assert their regressive ideology in our society. So in addition to things I've already mentioned, one of the other things is going to be assessed in this process that you can anticipate. There'll be photographs of the scene. There are scuff and scrape marks, usually in concrete, but because it's snow, it won't necessarily be in the concrete, but they will assess the trajectory of the tires and the wheels, the tire markings, as to whether or not the Honda pilot lunges forward and then at the last minute attempts to avoid Agent Ross. These are things that are going to be assessed in addition to the testimony of what was said that's not able to be heard in audio and different things of that nature. But here's another fact that will be a part of this. And in this, man, my disdain for our lying media, our disdain cannot be too high. It really cannot be too high. Because one of the other factors that will be discussed is that ICE agent Jonathan Ross was involved in June in a scenario where operating to exercise his duties, to execute his duties as an ICE agent, he went to detain a criminal, not only a criminal, a serial child rapist. A serial child rapist. Oh, man, this is so sad. Munoz Guatemala is his name. His compound last name. Do I have the first name here? Yes, I do have it. Well, what occurred in June is that Agent Ross attempted to execute an arrest warrant for Munoz Guatemala, Roberto Carlos Munoz Guatemala, who had been previously arrested for domestic abuse, domestic assault, who had been convicted in 2022 for serial sexual abuse of a minor. Agent Ross is going to arrest him. In the process of doing so, Munoz Guatemala was in his vehicle and refused lawful commands to exit the vehicle and instead mashed the gas pedal while Agent Ross's arm is inside of the vehicle. And Munoz Guatemala ends up by hitting the gas, trapping Agent Ross's arm between the seat and the frame of the car and drags him about 100 yards. This is back in June, which resulted in Agent Ross having 38 stitches. Just last month, in December, Roberto Carlos Munoz Guatemala was convicted at trial for assault of a federal officer, assault on a federal officer with a deadly weapon causing bodily injury. Was just convicted last month for this. I'm presenting this to you because this will be a factor that will play into what was in the mind of Agent Ross when he discharges the firearm following the Honda Pilot being driven by Renee Macklin Good, whether that was in his mindset when he's discharging. Now, I agree that discharge of a firearm, the utilization of deadly force, should be a last resort phenomenon. That alone, however, doesn't determine whether or not this was a justified use of force. Legally justified is what I'm talking about. A legally justified use of force. The testimony at the trial of Munoz Guatemala was that he smashed the gas on the vehicle while Agent Ross was wedging his vehicle and kept swerving back and forth to try to, quote unquote, shake Agent Ross off of the vehicle so he can get away. Now, here's the thing that the lying mainstream media is never going to tell you. They're never going to tell you this. That all of that happened in Minnesota. They're not going to tell you that. They're not going to tell you that. You know what else they're not going to tell you? That's right. Let me make sure I'm saying this lady's name right, because I don't want to say it wrong. I'm saying Renee. Yeah, Renee Nicole Macklin Good. Yeah, Renee Nicole Macklin Good. That's her name. Yeah. You know what else they're not going to tell you? And Governor Tim Walz, contrary to his verbiage, and I'm pointing this out to you now, that Agent Ross actually lives in Minnesota. He's from Minnesota, too. And in fact, let me make sure I got this right. Yeah. Yeah. According to the information that's available, he lives in Northeast Minneapolis. So he is a federal ICE officer, an experienced ICE officer, attempting to do his duties in the neighborhood, in the community in which he lives. Now, why am I saying that? Well, I'm going to show you now. Man, this time is flying by. So what happens? What creates an environment where a woman, it seems she's a Colorado native, native to Colorado, but shows up in Minnesota? According to some reports, that her whole deal, that this whole thing began because she sought to protest ICE activities in the Minneapolis area. And it's one thing for you to protest. It's another thing to protest lawfully. A lawful protest does not include impeding a federal investigation. A lawful protest does not include impeding the lawful executions of federal law enforcement. Guys, this is Americanism 101. This is constitutional understanding 101. This is also why every American citizen must understand the Constitution. For people to say, well, she's lawfully using her rights. No, she's not. The moment you move away from a lawful protest to impeding federal investigations, you have crossed the line into federal crime territory. This is what I said about Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass. That's why you saw her having about face on many of the things she was saying when ICE was operating actively in the Los Angeles area earlier in 2025. But then we have stuff like this that goes on. So following the reports of these tragic events, these guys, they don't wait for evidence. They don't wait for investigations. Oh, no, 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 no. They come out of the gate, both barrels blazing with this type of verbiage. First, we'll start with Minneapolis Mayor Jacob Frey. Listen to and watch what he had to say in the immediate aftermath. No investigation has been conducted concerning the shooting. No additional evidence has been provided. None of that. But that doesn't stop Jacob Frey from saying this. Listen to and watch clip one. Go.
There's little I can say, again, that'll make this situation better. But I do have a message for our community, for our city. And I have a message for ICE. To ICE, get the out of Minneapolis.
Oh, really? That's your message, Mayor? Mr. Mayor, that's your message? Is ICE breaking the law? No investigation. No assessment of the legalities or justifications that exist. No ascertainment of evidence, witness statements, photographic evidence from the scene. No testimony from the agents that are involved. None of that. But this is what Jacob Frey says. Now, I'm going to tell you, Jacob Frey is saying that for a reason. And I'll give you a hint. It's not because he's just the duly elected mayor just attempting to defend the citizens of Minneapolis. Because you have Jacob Frey on one hand saying that, but then you have the governor, Tim Walz. What does he say? Listen to it and watch. Clip number two. Go.
I've issued a warning order to prepare the Minnesota National Guard. We have soldiers in training and prepared to be deployed if necessary. I remind you, a warning order is a heads up for folks. And these National Guard troops are our National Guard troops. They're teachers in your community, they're business owners, they're construction professionals, they are Minnesotans.
Now, I'm gonna start with the latter part first. Now, I want you to notice what's happening here. Tim Walz, again, no investigation, no information, no scene photos, no witness statements, none of that stuff. But he immediately comes out. And I'm going to get to his rhetoric concerning the National Guard and what is he threatening there. But then he says, and the National Guardsmen are our National Guard. They are Minnesotans. They are teachers. They are from our own community, which is why I mentioned what I said to you earlier. Well, what was Jonathan Ross, ICE agent Jonathan Ross? See, Tim Walz... but the fraud father. That's right. And I'm going to tell you plainly, Jacob Frey and Tim Walz have about 9 billion reasons why they immediately want ICE to get out. And they're talking all of this rhetoric. Tim Walz clearly has no idea that the ICE agent is also a Minnesotan. A man going about his job, he didn't wake up that morning and say, hey, you know what? I can't wait to meet Renee Nicole Good. He's going about the work that he's been tasked to do as a Minnesotan. clearly Tim Walz has no clue about this. Because I don't think he would have said, maybe not. I mean, he didn't mind lying about his military service. Who says would he probably don't mind lying about anything else. But I want you to notice the rhetoric and the tactic being employed. He's trying to show that, see, this is about us versus them, Minnesota, while either being ignorant of or ignoring the fact that Officer Ross, Agent Ross, is a Minnesotan. Now, to even the even more substantive components of this conversation, what this boy is talking reckless. So the Minnesota National Guard has been trained and they've been warned, and this is a warning that they need to be ready for what? They're ready for what? You talking about the National Guard, the Minnesota National Guard, having a standoff with federal law enforcement? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying? Guys, that is exceedingly reckless. Now, remember, not an investigation has transpired. Not an accumulation of evidence. No. Development of witness statements, not development, but the taking of witness statements. None of that has happened. But this is why these guys go to the mic immediately and say these things. Why would they do that? I'm going to tell you why. And I've already alluded to it already. Minnesota has become a hotbed. No, let me say it better. Minnesota has been, for quite some time now, a hotbed for all types of federal scandal, corruption, and fraudulent activities. And what has been happening under both of these guys' watches has come to the fore and very likely will result in criminal prosecution. And these guys see in this tragedy, and this is why you have to, man, regressives many times, man, are loathsome people, that they are seeking to use this tragedy to take the heat off of themselves. Remember, 18 months ago, Tim Walz was trying to be vice president of the United States of America. 12 months ago, at a minimum, he was considering running for president, doing town halls all around the country. That ain't got nothing to do with Minnesota. Then he realized that wasn't going too well, and he was running for re-election for the governorship. Now, when the fraud comes to the fore, now he's not even running for governor anymore. You think he made that change? Just because he had I decided to go in a different direction. Or was he compelled externally to make that change? And so now this tragedy for him, stop me if you heard this before, we never let a good crisis go to waste. So he, in true Alinsky fashion, wants to utilize this crisis as a means to take the attention off of his potential criminal culpability in light of all of the scrutiny being employed in Minnesota right now. I don't want you to miss that. I don't want you to miss that. Because at a minimum, it's irresponsible to say, yes, we have our National Guardsmen trained and ready. To do what? To defy federal law enforcement? Guys, that it's not only wrong and sad, guys, that's dangerous. And you have these elected officials whipping the people up into a frenzy over these things, but trying to say it's an us versus them phenomenon while concealing or being ignorant of the fact that the very officer that your ire is targeted toward is a fellow Minnesotan too, in North Minneapolis. Which is probably why, Mr. Governor, these people wear face coverings so that you don't show up in front of their door talking about, we have our National Guard ready. They're trained and ready. Lord, please help us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith.